I'm glad to see everyone here this morning. We appreciate you being here during the week, and this morning is we're going to get right into the chart as quickly as we can.
I want us to turn in our Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation this morning. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I want us to notice something here because it's important for us to see. We didn't get a chance to go into it last night. Notice the 12th chapter and the 7th verse. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither, now notice these words, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, beloved, as I told you, Satan is in the heavenlies accusing the brethren. Now, this is the scripture that tells us about it. Now, God does not cast Satan down himself. He has Michael the archangel cast him down. Whenever you find Gabriel in the Word of God, he's carrying a message. Whenever you find Michael, you find him fighting for God. Michael is God's warrior. He's the one that takes the devil and casts him out of heaven. Now, the devil has had the privilege of being in heaven, accusing the brethren before God. Day and night he accuses us. And, beloved, we have to realize that. He is not down here on earth. The devil, as I said one night during the week, he has never tempted you or tested you himself. He has had his henchmen do it. His fallen angels that are cast out of heaven as well are the ones that really give us a fit. And that's why Paul said he was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. And many times we refer that Satan tempted me or Satan's messengers. We really should say Satan's messengers buffeted me and gave me a hard time. Because Satan himself is in the heavenly accusing your brethren daily. But when the Lord Jesus Christ has Michael cast him down to the earth, what a terrible time it's going to be on the earth. Because now Satan knows that his time is very short. And beloved, he really works all devilment that he can. And that's why no woman, no man will be safe on this earth. I'm glad I'm saved from the hour of tribulation. But, beloved, if you're not saved, you're going to go through it. Now, as we look up in heaven, the saints of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes up into the heaven, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, the judgment seat of Christ is first, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to have a wedding service for us. We're going to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we're engaged. We have the engagement ring on. But, beloved, when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ in air, he's going to have a marriage supper. John the Baptist is going to be there. Abraham's going to be there. The Old Testament saints are going to be at our wedding. And you and I are going to be joined as a bride of Christ to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marriage service that's going to be. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back down to the earth, to the Mount of Olives. And the reason that he comes at this time is it's so terrible on the earth that even for the elect's sake, he shortens that 7 years that was really predicted by Daniel's prophecy. He shortens it and makes it about 6.5 or maybe 6 years because it's so terrible on the earth. Beloved, the devil is letting everything go. All sin is permeating the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves his own, his elect, and they are suffering. During this time of the tribulation period, in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ has 144,000 preachers that come along and preach. 12,000 from each tribe of the children of Israel preach the kingdom gospel. I am not preaching the kingdom gospel this morning. I'm preaching the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming to the earth. I'm saying that the bridegroom is coming for his church, the bride, to receive them. I'm not saying this morning the king's coming. No, during the tribulation period, they're going to be saying the king is coming. Don't receive the mark in your hand or in your forehead. And it's going to be the Jews that are going to be preaching the kingdom gospel. Beloved, God's going to give them the knowledge, and it might be that when the Lord Jesus Christ raptures the bride away, the Orthodox Jews at that time that are trying to do the things of God today, though they are blinded, they don't know the Messiah, maybe at that time God will open up their eyes immediately to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, that He's the Messiah, and they will start preaching the King's coming to reign on the earth. He's coming back. He's coming back. They're not going to say the bridegroom's coming. They're going to say the King is coming. Many times I sing that song, the King is coming. And beloved, really it's a tribulation song. It's for the tribulation saints to sing, because they're going to look for the King. I'm looking for the bridegroom to come. And they're going to tell the world, don't receive a mark in your hand or in your forehead, for if you do receive the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, you're not going to be able to receive the King. Don't receive it. And there's going to be multitudes saved during that time. Because you see, these 144,000 Jews are going to be preaching to the whole world that the King is coming. And there's going to be multitudes saved. Now, last night we said some will not be able to be saved during the tribulation, according to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. They will not be able to be saved because God has sent them strong delusions to believe a lie. In other words, all of those in America, and I think, beloved, during the tribulation period, there's going to be less people saved in America than any other nation on the earth. I really believe that. Why? Because we have had the gospel preached from coast to coast, on television, on radio, day after day after day. You can turn on your radio and listen to the Word of God. And I believe there's going to be less people saved in America during the tribulation period than any other nation, because we've had the gospel. But all of those in the communist countries that haven't heard the gospel, many of those, when they hear those 144,000 Jews preach, are going to listen and going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're going to suffer. And the suffering is they're not going to be able to buy or sell. And some of them are going to starve to death because they're not going to be able to get food, because all the governments of the world are going to be under the control of Satan. And his eye is looking over everybody. And if they don't get bowed down to his image, he's going to cause to perish those that won't bow to his image. Now, when I was a boy, I wondered how in the world could one man make the whole world perish if they didn't bow down to his image. But, beloved, you and I can understand it this morning. Now, we couldn't understand that when I was a boy. But we can understand it this morning. The youngest child here can understand it. How could they do that? Well, all they have to do is have a satellite up there and watch the whole world. And if people don't bow, they could even shoot fire down from a satellite and destroy the people on earth. Beloved, it's here. It could happen in a moment of time. The reign for the Antichrist is all set up. And it could take place this morning if Jesus Christ would snatch that bride away, the Antichrist would come on the scene. But, beloved, it's so terrible that Jesus Christ hears the cry of His saints and He comes back. Now, notice in the 19th chapter, the book of Revelation, and we want to look at this and we want to cover both the millennium reign of Christ and the great white throne judgment. But before we get into that, notice the 19th chapter, the book of Revelation, and the 11th verse. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, beloved, the people that come with the Lord Jesus Christ are his bride. You and I that are saved here this morning, we will have been with the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. We're going to be judged for the works that we have done for Christ, not for salvation, because our salvation rests in the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that He gave on the cross of Calvary. He took the power of darkness for us. He delivered us from the penalty of sin and has set us free. And beloved, we have to trust in the blood of Christ. That's why we're saved. But now we are judged for the things that we have done in the body, whether it has been good or bad. According to our works, we're going to receive a reward. Beloved, us Christians need to get busy. That's one reason that I'm making every effort to get out the Word of God by tape, by preaching, and being as plain spoken as I can when I preach, because I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. I believe that it could happen this morning, and every time I wake up, I think to myself, he might come today. And beloved, a lot of us are asleep at the switch, and we don't realize in which hour we are living. But we're living in terrific hours. The Lord could come for his church. But when he comes with a garment dipped in blood, and behind him, the saints are clothed with white linen and on white horses. Can you imagine what that's going to look like when the earth above or below looks to the heavens above and they see a little red dot and they see the heavens depart like a great scroll, as it tells us there in the 6th chapter of Revelation, and they want to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They say, this is God which we have to do with. Let's get out of here. And they try to hide from God. But there's no hiding place. No hiding place. And the heavens are rolled back like a great scroll is opened up. That heaven, that universe is open. And the heavens come forth with a little dot of red. And it comes closer and closer. And behind that dot of red will be a white blanket. And that will be all the saints of God that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are pure and clean by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And beloved, when they come with him, the people on the earth tremble, for they know that they have to deal with that man. And that's what we find in the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter that we went over last night. The Jews are going to receive the earth. And that's why in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, the Lord Jesus Christ takes those when he comes and puts them in outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The reason he takes the sinner there is because the Jewish nation is going to reign with him 1,000 years, a millennium. They're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ reigning with him. And so what he does is he destroys all the wicked. For notice the 17th verse of the 19th chapter. And I saw the angel stand in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both bound and free, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Beloved, he takes the false prophets and he casts them into the lake of fire. He casts them into the lake of fire. You might say, why doesn't he give them judgment at the great white throne? Listen, the angels of heaven and the devil themselves will not be before the great white throne, because they have already received their doom when God cast out Satan from being the covering cherub and stripped him. They have already received their judgment. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ met that one when he walked the earth, remember that one said to him who was filled with demons, that person that was filled with demons, they said, are you here to torment us before the time? Are you here to torment us before the time? They knew that they were all ready for judgment. They have been judged and found wanting, but you and I haven't been judged. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we never will be judged for our sins, for he paid for our sins. But we will be judged for what we have done for him, for rewards, not for salvation, but for rewards. Now, beloved, as he comes to set up this millennium kingdom, the angel stands in the sun, and he pronounces to the birds, come. Now, beloved, as he comes to set up this millennium kingdom, the angel stands in the sun and he pronounces to the birds, come on, all you fowls of the air, feed yourself on all of these men, great men and small men, poor men, rich men, and feed your stomachs full. And the birds are going to cling to the earth for the millennium reign of Christ, because there's not going to be one sinner left on the earth. when he starts to reign with the millennium. Not one sinner is left. For all the sinners are destroyed after he comes to the earth. Now, you might say, well, now look, the millennium reign of Christ, he starts to reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Now, I disagree with Mr. Booth here. I don't believe that the New Jerusalem is in here. We're going to take it where I believe it's scriptural, over here in the new heavens and the new earth. For New Jerusalem does not come out of heaven until after the great white throne judgment. I don't know if Mr. Booth didn't have any other place to put it, but he should have put it over here because that's the wrong place. And you can check all these scriptures if you believe that. I'd like you to prove it to me. I've challenged a lot of preachers and not one has proved it to me yet that this should be over the millennium. Listen, the New Jerusalem isn't over the millennium. It's after the new heaven and the new earth that it's going to be. But during the millennium reign of Christ, Jesus isn't going to be reigning in the heavens. He's going to be reigning on David's throne. That's what God promised him. You have a king back here when he talked to David. You have a son, and the king, David's son, is going to reign on the throne. And he's going to reign on earth. He's not going to reign in the heavens at this time, but on earth. And beloved, you and I will see tonight when we get to the new heavens and the new earth, what a great place that new Jerusalem is going to be. Now, we notice during this reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is for 1,000 years. The Jewish nation and all of those that have been beheaded for the name of Christ are going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us notice before that, let's notice the 21st verse of the 19th chapter. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I'm glad I'm not lost. If you're lost here, you're going to be eaten by birds.
Turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
If you're here during the tribulation, because Jesus Christ is just going to have the fire come out of his mouth and devour you. You might say, what nonsense. Listen, God said it. I didn't. And I believe God. And God has proven to me in my little life, Stan, how true he is. Because when I was a boy, this nation of Israel wasn't even in existence. Israel was Palestine. The Palestinians had Israel. And not only that, England owned it. And beloved, I used to say when preachers would say the Lord's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom and the Jews are going to be a nation once again. This is back in 1939, 1940. I'd say to my dad, where in the world did they get it? He said, in the Word of God. I said, but Dad, don't you think it's just a few Jews that Hitler's killing and a few Jews in New York? Don't you think they're sticking out their neck a long way? Beloved, since 1947 and 48, Israel has become a nation. In our lifetime, we have seen prophecy fulfilled. Everything is ready for the coming of the Lord. And listen, beloved, I don't care if our president thinks that he's going to get those Jews to give up Jerusalem. He might as well put on another peace pipe because he's not going to get them to do it. I'll tell you that. You might as well write a telegram to him and tell him to save his breath. Listen, Israel this last week warned the United States that they were going to start talking to Russia if we keep meddling around. We've got to watch what we do to the Jewish nation. Because no country will stand when they persecute the Jews. And beloved, if we think that the Jewish nation is going to give back Jerusalem, when they're praying at that wailing wall or the western wall of the temple, praying that that mosque of Omar will fall down and become an ash heap that they might set up their temple, if you think they're going to give up that West Bank of Israel, you're wrong. You better read again. They're going to die if they have to fight the United States and Russia and everybody else. They'll do it. You know, it's one thing the United States woke up when they had that war in Lebanon just here a few weeks ago. They told Israel, they said, it's impossible for you to pinpoint bombing like you say you're doing. Because our planes aren't capable of doing it. That's what the United States said to Israel. Oh, Israel said, that's right. Your planes aren't. But we fixed them so they could. And they proved to our generals that they could pinpoint bombing. And beloved, when they set their sights on you, they can bomb right down on a pinpoint. And it's our planes, but they have fixed it up and they brought it over here to the United States to show the United States how to do it. with our bombers. Listen, God is fighting for Israel. I don't care what nation. I don't care if this whole world this morning turned on Israel. Israel could laugh in their face because God Almighty is going to save them. When Jesus Christ comes back, half of Israel is finished. Boy, those Jews. And beloved, when they think the women are ravished, they're raped, the houses are gone into and rifled, they steal out of the Jewish home, and they've taken just about all Jerusalem. And beloved, I believe the United States is going to be in there going against Jerusalem, if we're still here, that is. And Russia and all the other nations of the world are going to go right against Israel. But I have news for you. Their eyes are going to be opened up and they're going to cry out to God, oh God. And that city's going to be look like it's run over. And the world starts to rejoice. And they say, we've got half the city, we're going to take the rest of it. And they start to rejoice just like a lot of people rejoice in a football game too soon. And that gun hasn't sounded. And there's 1 second left on the clock. And that fella comes in with that lucky foot, and he kicks that thing through the upright, and the team who is rejoicing is now crying. Beloved, that's the scene of the world. When Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to think that they're going to ruin Israel. But Jesus Christ is coming. And when he stands on the Mount of Olives, he takes control. And that's when he destroys the world. And not one sinner is left. But beloved, we notice that in the 20th chapter, once again, God Almighty takes the devil. He has had Michael now cast him out of heaven. You see, the devil isn't some great person. He's stronger than we are. He's wiser than Daniel. But, beloved, he's no opponent to God. It's just like this pulpit. If I made it, and that pulpit said to me one day, I'm going to be greater than you, Jim, well, I'd just kick that little pulpit. That wouldn't mean anything to me. It's just a piece of wood. It has no ability to fight with me. It'd be like if I got in a ring with one of these big boxers and put up my jukes to fight him. Well, I'd go. I'm no opponent. That's what the devil is. Why don't we get it right? Listen, God says here to the angel, he says, you take Satan and you bind him for 1,000 years. And I'm going to show man that it's not only Satan's enemies and his demons that have tempted them, but their own lustful flesh has brought them away from God. He's allowed Satan to energize all the people of the earth up to this time. But he's going to show man he failed in innocency, he failed in conscience, he failed in law, he failed in government and law and grace, and then in the tribulation. And now he's going to show them that they fail in the millennium without him. And beloved, you might say, who are the people then that reject the Lord Jesus Christ at the little seed? They are those that are born during the millennium. We're only 200 years old in the United States, and look at how many people have been born in the United States. Beloved, in 1,000 years, a lot of babies can be born. And a lot of those babies that are born during the millennium, after they see the perfect reign of Christ on the earth, are going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the perfect King is there, and he reigns and rules with a rod of iron in righteousness, they still reject him. That's how hard men's hearts are and women's hearts are. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the 20th chapter of Revelation, the first verse. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. Beloved, that angel just comes out. God doesn't have to do it. He just says to one of his angels, go and take Satan, throw him down a pit, chain him up. Satan's helpless. People think that Satan can be down in hell with a pitchfork jabbing. Listen, he's not the manager of hell. He's going to be in torture like you are. And he's going to be crying out, oh God, oh God. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior. I acknowledge Him as Lord. Just like you will, Jesus said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You might not confess now, but you will. You will. Beloved, here we notice that those people, without reading it, the next few verses tell you, and I can tell it quicker than I can read it, all of those people that went through the tribulation period are going to reign on thrones with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, saints, a lot of you think you're going to be over a city or state. You don't have a chance. The ones that are going to be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne are those that have suffered persecution during the tribulation period.
They're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, as you see even in verses 4, right down to verse 6 without reading it. You can check it up at home. They are going to be the ones that are going to be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, I thought I was. No! How would Nancy Reagan feel this morning if dear Ronald Reagan said to her, Nancy, I'm going to do a great thing for you today. I'm going to let you be the First Lady of North Carolina. Nancy would say, hey, Ronnie, what are you trying to do? Demote me? Well, I think that's very nice for me to give you that, Nancy. Oh, no, you're not going to do that to me. Because, Ronald, I'm reigning over the whole United States as First Lady. Not just North Carolina. Do you get the picture? Saint, you're not going to be sitting over some little state or city judging. You're going to be in the throne with Jesus Christ. You're the president's wife at that time. The King of Kings' wife. The Lord of Lords' wife. Don't cheat yourself and put yourself down. Beloved, after that time of the millennium reign with Christ, we will be reigning with Him. Those that went through the tribulation will be reigning with Him on thrones. We'll be reigning in the throne with Him as His bride. Then the devil, God lets the devil out of the pit again, and He gathers all these people that aren't satisfied, that don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords during the millennium reign, those that have been born during the 1,000 years of Christ. They are going to set up, some are going to reject His kingdom, then they're going to say, we don't want you. We want the devil, and they follow after the devil, and they compass the city, as we see in the 8th verse of the 20th chapter, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about that beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Beloved, all God does is they go up against Jerusalem to get the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're going to destroy Him. And they think they can win. The devil's still lying to them. He's deceiving them again. Like some of you have been deceived all week. You think you can get away with your sin. You can't. He thinks that he's going to deceive the people and that he's going to get God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go up, and all God does, simple, has the greatest cremation service that there ever is. Why worry about being cremated? The Lord God of heaven is the one that has the biggest cremation service there is. He just has fire come down from heaven and devours them all. They're all burned up in a moment. And right after that, He sets up the great white throne. And brother and sister, everyone that has been cremated here, their dust will be gathered together and they will stand before the great white throne. Because all the dead will rise in the resurrection and stand before the great white throne. Who's going to be at the great white throne? Every person that hasn't received Christ. Notice what it says in the 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on Him, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Beloved, they rejected the works of Christ, so God says, all right, sinner, you say you want to be judged in your works. You would not receive the works of Christ on the cross, and this is to you this morning that have rejected Christ. God puts the scale there in the balance. Jesus Christ is on one side of that scale, and that scale has to balance. If it goes against you, you're in want. You're in need. And beloved, what He does is He gives you in the righteous judgment every credit of every good work you've ever done. You gave 5 pints of blood to the Red Cross. God puts on the scale 5 pints. Of blood that you gave to the Red Cross. And you say, that's my reward, yes. But then over here, God says, here's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's really on the throne. But He says, now let's compare it to the Lord Jesus. He gave His blood to cleanse sinners away. Has your blood ever cleansed sinners? No, sir. You come short of the glory of God. Okay, you say, all right, I gave money to build that church. God gives you all the credit of the money. But He says in His Word in Peter, silver and gold will not redeem you. And then He puts what He redeemed the church with His precious blood again. Beloved, then you say, well, I helped a blind man across the street. And God Almighty is very generous in giving you credit. He gives you the credit and gives you the reward for helping a blind man across the street. And He drops how much credit you get for the blind man helping him across the street. He gives you credit. But then we look at the other end of the scale. is Jesus Christ. He gave sight to the blind. He didn't just help them across the street. Have you given sight to the blind? Can you dare, my friend, can you dare, my friend, compare your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You have come short. That's what Romans 3:23 says. For all have sinned and come short. And I've come short. You've come short. And beloved, if you're not saved, you're going to stand before the great white throne. Let me tell you, mother, something here and dad something. And every preacher that's here, we're going to be called on as a witness. Matthew 11. God says, all right, at the great white throne, He brings those witnesses. He said to the people in Capernaum, He said, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to rise up in judgment against you. Every time I preach, I either preach to the saving of the soul or the damning of the soul. And beloved, at the great white throne, God is going to ask me about this day, and He's going to say, do you remember that sinner back there? And I'll remember you. And I'll say, yes, they sat right back there. Did they come? No. Did you tell them to come to Christ? Yes. I will witness against you. A mother will stand up there and she'll say, God will say to that mother, did you ever tell that daughter to be saved? Yes. Did you tell that husband to be saved? Yes. And that mother will have to tell the truth. For she's honest. Tears will be running down her cheeks. She'll be crying, but she'll be telling the truth. Yes, Lord, they deserve hell because they rejected you. And mothers, you're going to witness against your husbands, and the husbands, some are going to witness against their wives, and children are going to witness against their parents. To be a witness for Jesus Christ, we're going to rise up in judgment against the wicked. Let the redeemed say so. Oh, beloved, when you hear the gospel, it's a terrible thing to trifle with it. And maybe this week you put it out of your ears and said, no, I won't receive Him. But you will. But it'll be too late. For after He opens the books and goes over your life, He opens the book of life and see if you've ever accepted Christ, and you haven't. He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness. And notice what is cast there in the 13th verse. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, if you haven't trusted Christ, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire, not hell. Hell is only the prison house holding a person until the great white throne. Hell is cast into the lake of fire. Death is cast into the lake of fire. And all that was not found written in a book of life are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Is that where you're going? You don't have to. Because Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. Jesus Christ took your sins away. And He wants to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. He wants to save you this morning. And He can save you right where you sit. If you will open up that heart and say, I see Jesus died for me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I want to be saved. And beloved, you can be saved this morning. Shall we open our hymn books to Just As I Am? And sing in closing. It's right 1 minute before 12. But we want to take just a couple minutes this morning to sing this hymn, the first, the third, and the fifth stanza. If there's one that wants to be saved, will you slip out of that seat and come to Christ this morning? We have a little booklet here, What the Bible Teaches You, we'd love to give you. Will you just slip out from wherever you are and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? He wants to save you. Brother Welcome's not here this morning, but Rod is. He's going to be down here with me. Why don't you make your way down to the front quickly as we sing the first, the third, and the fifth stanza. Brother, would you lead us? Shall we stand?
Shall we stand as we sing 398?
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Before we sing the fifth stanza, could I say this? Some have come. Now, how about you? They have broken the ice for you. Now, it's easy for you to come. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know you need to be saved. You know right now, if you die the way you are, you're going to go right straight to the lake of fire. You're not going to stand a chance because you've come short of the glory of God. Why don't you this morning? Maybe there's a young boy, young girl. You need Christ. Maybe there's a man or a woman. Sir, you might be old. You might be the last opportunity. Will you come? Why don't you come this morning as we sing the fifth stanza to the last?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome hearted cleansed relief, because thy promise I be able, Lamb of God I shall.
Say this in closing, friend, if you couldn't walk the aisle, but you want to be saved, listen, we're right down here at the front to help you. I want a couple of the elders to be down here this morning, over here to my left, that if somebody else comes, that you might be able to help them. Let's be in prayer. Let's go out quietly this morning. And if there's somebody not saved, old friend, please accept Christ as your Savior. Please. Father, we just thank Thee for these that have come. We pray that Thou would meet their needs. We don't know what it is, but we'll find out. And we just pray, Father, that Thou would show each one that's without Christ that this morning they might accept Him as Lord and Savior. Bless us as we wait on Thee. Bring us back tonight. And, Father, save that precious soul. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.